D.C. residents are invited to discuss how the Secure D.C. crime bill targets the black working class and criminalizes our youth, and how to develop real people-centered solutions to community safety. There will be speakers, group exercises, lunch, and a performance by the Afro-Go-Go Roots Collective, Crank Lukongo Unplugged. The Harm of Crime Bills and the Future of Community Power in Chocolate City, Saturday, July 13th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the RISE Demonstration Center, 2730 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C. More information and registration can be found online, PACA, that's P-A-C-A, crimebilltownhall.eventbrite.com. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Yes. Okay. All right. Can you get that fixed, please? All right. All right. Hello, everybody, and happy Monday after the 4th. This is Inside Out radio show. I am one of your hosts, Mimi Magic, accompanied with my beautiful co-host, Bianca. And this show illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA+ experience. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008 and is DC's only show of its kind on the FM dial and one of only a handful in the country. As the name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an LGBTQIA inclusive lens. We are proud to be part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, the home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. Catch us if you miss us during our time slot on iTunes afterwards to check out the talk in your car or wherever you may be. Feel free to give us a call if you have questions for us as the hosts or our wonderful guests today at 202-588-0893. Hi, Bianca. How are you today?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm doing good, Mimi. How are
I'm
you?
in there. I'm in there. We are done with the last month, which, it's great. It's been a wonderful time. You haven't heard too much from me. So I guess, things have settled down, darling, a little bit, just a little bit. So, it is what
That's
it is.
right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's good.
Yeah,
Well,
getting settled is good, right? We did have a pretty busy couple of months with Trans Pride and then, of course, with DC Pride and all of the activities that's happening. So a little bit of like a break to relax is a good thing.
Yeah, it really is. And so with that, you were on a vacation recently, weren't you?
I took a break after Pride festivities, which is actually something that I would love to do each year because it's just a nice way to, close out, kind of wrap up all of the activities that we have for the past couple of months, right? As I've said in the beginning, so I, it was a great vacation.
I love that. You looked like you were having a great time. You definitely deserve it. You're one of the only people that I can see deserve something and feel good for them. No, I'm just kidding. But because I realize it's and I'm like, it's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. We just have those moments, darling, where I'm like, oh, it's real. She's actually having fun and she works hard. She deserves it. Like these other people, I'm like, how did you get there? Why are you on vacation for the 50th time in a year? Do you have a job? Like, how do we do this payment plan on somebody else's credit? Because I'm just really trying to figure out how these people are doing this. I'm like, it just doesn't make sense to me because I know who I know I'm seeing. You know what I mean? I know who I'm seeing. So no, you looked great. It looked fabulous. It's so amazing that your handsome husband lets his gorgeous wife go around the country with like other gorgeous people and like just enjoy seeing you, doing the dance parade in the cage. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Do not reveal too much.
I didn't reveal it. Hey, it was online. It was
That
online.
is true.
If you follow Trans in the City, you would see it. So I just thought I was
That is
promoting.
true. I
I
mean,
was
that is,
promoting.
yeah, it's nice. It's nice to, again, as I've said, let loose and just really enjoy the beautiful city that I visited. I was in Hawaii. And I highly recommend it. So I know, Mimi, vacation, sometimes it's hard for us working girls because we get so busy, but I truly, truly, truly recommend just taking time for yourself. Vacation, wherever it is that makes you feel happy. Water makes me feel good, so I love being in the water. So whatever that is for you, I highly, highly recommend it.
Yes, and we'll rephrase it to career girls, not working girls, just for those who want to be funny, because we don't want to be funny. And I definitely want to say hi to our lovely engineer today, because without you all, we wouldn't be able to do the show, because I don't think we have thanked you all for a little bit. And that being said, they're going to have a little tidbit of a little fun song that will lead us into our guest today. So we are going to bring our wonderful guest, Eric Hasbach. I call him Eric Habash, but we're going to have him pronounce his name correctly when he comes in, just for everybody, because he is brilliant. He is wonderful. He is the gorgeous, gorgeous man that I love to see every time
Yes,
I'm in
yes,
DC.
yes.
So after this short little song number, we will come back and say hello to Eric. Okay, and you're back with Inside Out. Mimi Hunt and Bianca. So we are back. We are back. And we are going to introduce our wonderful, wonderful guest, the guru of marketing and hotels in DC, Eric Bosch.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Are we going to be able to see that gorgeous face or no? What are we doing? No?
Yes,
we need to get into it, darling. We got to get into it. Come into the living room. Come into the living room.
That's right. Let's do it. I'll come in the living
room. Let's do it. We're going to have a sit down here, you know, not like the view, but nonetheless, there we go. See, and light shines. There we go. So we love him. You know, I've loved you forever. You're such a wonderful friend. Aww, and, you know, for real, this was a wonderful time to have you on because, you know, after some things have like died down for, you know, the Pride season and everything else, this is where we all recollect on all the wonderful memories we had during it. And also the people who have pioneered to what a lot of people enjoy. So I definitely put you at the top of that list for me. And, you know, I would love the listeners to hear a little bit about yourself, you know, your background and what you do.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. First, it's Eric Hussbach. So now you know exactly how that is pronounced. Von Hussbach, actually. So German heritage. So if you really want to get technical about it, but I kind of like the way you pronounce it too. So we can stick with that.
Oh, yummy.
Or back in the day, some people used to say instead of Hussbach, they said hot bots, but I'm not quite sure.
They still say it, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we'll think about that for the future too. But anyway, thank you guys so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. The same back to you both. You know, I'm a big fan of the work that you both do, and I love being able to partner with you on our events that we do throughout the month of June, throughout the month of May. And, you know, just bringing people together, which is kind of what I think the core mission of what I do is. You know, I've been in Washington, D.C. for about 30 years now. I came in 1992. I came to March on Washington for the 93 March on Washington and never left. So, you know, I came here, you know, to really march and protest when things are very different than they are today. And I'm proud of the work that I did alongside our elders to, you know, make the gay community a safer place for all and a much more inclusive space for all. But I've worked in hotels, restaurants, and public relations and sales and marketing and all sorts of fun stuff over my career, mainly within the hotel spaces. Currently, I am the area director of sales and marketing for Marriott. And one of my hotels is Moxie, which is a marvelous safe space for everybody to come and hang out. So please come on down and visit with us. And I also have a cute little courtyard in DuPont Circle, which is convenient to DuPont Circle, which is a very historic and well-known neighborhood to the LGBTQ plus community. Yeah, so it's me. I am married. I've a husband of as long as it's been legal, but we've been together 25 plus years, and I have a cute pit bull rescue dog named Smokey, and that's my family.
I love that. Yes, Smokey the bear. And so, how did you really get started in your career when it comes to, you know, marketing and, you know, going overseas and helping people with policy and things like that? Like, how did you get started?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, honestly, to really go all the way back, it kind of found me. You know, hospitality found me. I loved helping my mother. She was a big entertainer and always my house was always full of people. So I sort of grew up in a cocktail party. And that manifested, and I started to host events, and I was a wedding planner, and I was a events planner for a big resort in Pennsylvania called Nemacolin Woodlands, which is another fabulous place if you ever want to take a quick day trip and vacation. But as I started to work in the hotel business and moving from away from the restaurants into the hotel business, I found that I could use that platform to reach out to all different segments of business, and particularly in Washington, was a great opportunity to find the organizations that advocated on behalf of LGBTQ rights, and talk with them, let them know that it was a safe place to do business, that I would advocate for them and ensure that everyone felt welcome and safe in the environments that I worked in. That became sort of a mission for me at that point. Every environment or every hotel that I went into work, it was always very much important that those environments understood that that any intolerance to LGBTQ people would not be tolerated. So being in a leadership position within those environments, I was able to ensure that. So that was pretty cool. And at one point, I was working for a new company that was emerging at the time called Starwood Hotels. It's since been gobbled up by Marriott, but Starwood Hotels in the late 90s were emerging as a larger organization, and they had merged with several heritage hotel companies, so Westin, Sheraton, Luxury Collection, and some others. And they had sort of done something that was remarkable at the time. Their human resources people, as they were writing new policies and writing new benefit packages for their employees, reached out to the field and asked the field, what do you want to see as the rights and the benefits to being an employee with these organizations? And being in Washington, D.C., of course, and with my background with advocating for LGBTQ, I was like, oh my gosh, well, this is an amazing opportunity for us to really go for it, and ask for everything. And I mean, we asked for everything. And this is in the mid to late 90s, where we wanted partnership benefits. We wanted to ensure that, because again, there was no gay marriage at that time. There was no marriage equality. There were barely recognition of a partner. So we insisted that the same rights and the same benefits that were given to the spouses of the heterosexual folks would be available to the partners of anybody that identified LGBTQ working in these organizations. We also had trans rights placed in those documents that we sent up. And we said, anybody that wants to express themselves in a non-binary in a particular way should be able to do so. And again, this is all very unheard of in a policy for a publicly traded company. And we got every single thing we asked for. And it was so amazing that that organization said, yeah, it's time for these rights to be celebrated. And in turn, that organization even started to push towards the vendors and the businesses that they did business with and said, hey, how come you all aren't doing these things too? And you need to get on board because, because it's a coming. And in order to keep doing business with us, we want you to adopt some of these policies. So all that was happening, in the, again, mid to late 90s. And it's hard to believe where we are today. Compared to those times, which is really actually only 25 years ago, right? The fact that those conversations had to happen only 25 years ago is an important takeaway.
Yeah, Eric, thank you for sharing that kind of story from your field. First and foremost, I learned a lot more in the hospitality, hotel, business. I have some friends who's in that field, and every time I talk to them, I'm always fascinated, because a little bit of context. You know, when I was in school trying to figure out like what I wanted to do in my career, I wanted to get into like hotel and restaurant management, because I love the idea of like, getting into that customer service and providing that service to the customers. I've always been fascinated on that one. I love that, the company that you were working with at the time really connected and did an outreach to the members of the community and asked them as to like, mm-hmm. what is it that you need, right? What are the benefits that would really be helpful for you to thrive and, to live your authentic self in this organization? I love that. I also love the fact that, that kind of same question and conversation was extended to the vendors that the hotel mm-hmm. was partnering with, because to your point, it does impact not only the hotel, but, everybody, the clients, the customer, and the vendor that you're using. And to your point, this was just 25 years ago, right? That we've had this conversation and we're still having this conversation even today, right? So I think my follow-up question to you is, as an advocate for the LGBTQ community, why do you think that, activism and advocacy still matters today?
Yeah, so, taking it all the way back, I was fired from a job for being gay, and it was clearly fired for being gay. Mm-hmm. And I worked in a restaurant in my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and not known at the time as being a very welcoming place. there were about out of a staff of about 15 servers. In this particular restaurant, eight of us were of LGBTQ, and we were all fired at the same time. I mean, we were removed from the environment at the same time, and it was clear why. And it had to do with what they said. We had been we had made the customers uncomfortable because we were being ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because there were because there were eight of us, we interacted with each other as our true selves. Mm-hmm. And because we didn't put on the facade or the we didn't hide who we were, they didn't like that, and it was a purge. We actually took that to the press. Was an article written about it in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We did not take it as far as a lawsuit, but we did have a boycott activity, and we did do some some guerrilla items that I won't speak of now, but. we did make it very clear that what they did was not right and that was wrong. And we visited the college campuses. Carnegie Mellon is there. University of Pittsburgh is there. And we sort of just started saying, hey, this will happen to us and this isn't right. And the eight of us kind of, the gang of eight, we sort of traveled around the city and linked up with some of the LGBT organizations in Pittsburgh to tell our story. And that just wasn't okay. And it was amazing the amount of people that thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. Even young people, progressive people you would consider progressive, were just like, well, just go work somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. That's not how that's supposed to work. We didn't do anything wrong. We were just ourselves. And that's what really started my in the back of my head, that seed was planted. It's like, no. I will be unequivocally myself for the rest of starting right now, going forward. And the interesting thing is, by leaning into that and being my true self call you what it might be, or call you what call I don't know what I'm trying to say. call what it may. being silly, being direct, being catty, having fun, dressing a certain way, certain mannerisms. You know, I did not care. I'm like, I am going to be me. And you either are going to take it or you're going to leave it. And at one point, my skills are going to become more important than how people perceive me or as a homosexual.
And to that point there, that's mm-hmm. the point, is you being who you are and were at that time was not harming people. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. see, that's where I always have the conversation with people who are allies in the community or people who I say can blend through or whatever, is that you may get multiple opportunities to mess up and we only usually get the one. Mm. And especially when we are of trans denomination, because the thing is, one, people aren't really happy that you're there anyway. It is a high level of toleration, unless you're working for a community group or you were placed there for certain reasons or whatever it may be. But Bianca and I both know that if it wasn't for our talents, skill, and, you know, acquiesce of certain things, maybe even a lot of times image, it would not be where we would not be where we are. And so sometimes people get caught complaining in 2024 about things that we had to accept in order to move up in what we're doing now today that people see as easy, and it's not. And so that's why when people do come in, it is for them to understand the progress and the achievement of people even being able to be themselves in this magnitude. So I wanted to put that note, because for some people, they say, oh, maybe who you were was too much. And we're not talking about being too much. We're just talking about being an individual who lives their authentic life, not hurting people. In fact, you're actually benefiting people because you're not holding on to aggression, guilt, shame, and things that make a lot of gay folks, you know, less active in the best way. We all know the high school situation, right? Where we couldn't be who we wanted to be, and it just made us maybe more catty or more situational about things, right? Because it's like, you get to be you, but I can't. So girl, you gonna get this today. You gonna get this smoke on a Monday. Your makeup is terrible. So the point is, it is what it is. And we usually use humor to disguise a lot of the things that we are really going through. It's just called RuPaul's Drag Race. So the point is, like, we just have these things and people don't really get it, because in the natural selection of the world, it's just really like your personality can determine like what it is, you know, not really like how you are, and you can just get another job. That only applies for those people, right? You can just go somewhere else. And I used to have this argument with somebody who I think they identified as Republican. I don't remember now. But the point is that it was like, well, why would you want to work for a place if, you know, they're discriminatory or did it? And I was like, well, how many places aren't? How many places aren't? Because what you're not going to get is that person telling you the truth of why you're not being hired. The person who says you were here for a day and then another person came in and you were let go. They're not going to do that. So therefore, there does need to be change just in general, okay? Because you're not talking about service members that can't shoot a gun. You're talking about a person who you just don't like because of what they were or whatever. So just wanted to make sure that I stamped on that, just so people do understand, for the listeners, that who he is what has made so much fabulous in DC and has really helped to advocate for others, because that person is an awesome person. I mean, we all have our moments, right? You know, I'm not going to get into my telenovela, but at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is, girl. We have seen brighter days. But anywho, so we're going to take a short little break and then we're going to come back and it's going to be all about Eric, which I love. Why, Eric, run away with you? It's all so sudden. So be back after these short songs. And we are back with Inside Out LGBTQ Radio. We're illuminating all the things to the success of the LGBTQ community. And Eric Habash, since he likes the way I say his last name. So we are back. We are back. And thank you so much again for being here. And if you're listening, you can feel free to give a call in at 202-588-0893. And you know, our next question for you, and this was a segue to the last one, was why do you think being an advocate really does still matter in 2024? Because, you know, evidently we realize that, you know, the work isn't completed, right? Because we have an election coming up, you know, we have all these things going on. My goodness, if you've seen what they're trying to do, darling. So the point is, we can talk about it on here. So the point is, why do you think that it still matters to be an advocate?
Oh my gosh. Well, just like you said, look around. I mean, the work that we've done that's come before in the past 25 years is all at risk. You know, nothing is permanent. And, look at what happened to Roe v. Wade. You know, look at the idea that installing, you know, it's so funny. I feel like I'm talking like a Republican, the radical judges, that really have been, the conservative judges and such that have been put into place are causing great damage. And working through the court systems at the local levels is a legal way to manipulate and take away these, rights that we've worked so hard and fought so hard, to win. And I think that, unfortunately, the work will never be done. I mean, I'd love for the utopia where we can all just, you know, get along and not have to even have the organizations and advocacies and such, that we just all celebrate each other and lift each other up. But, you know, I just don't think that's ever going to happen. And the it's not human nature. So we have to keep pushing, and we have to make sure that we continue the good fight. It's shocking to see how quickly things can turn. And you know, we've gone from Will and Grace, you know, where everybody loved having a great gay best friend, you know, but as long as they stayed in their lane, right? So as we continue to move forward and we continue to try to celebrate all things, you know, non-binary and you know, that embracing the word queer and sort of taking the power back that comes with that. You know, it's offending and frightening a lot of people. So the pendulum starts to swing back to the conservative side. And, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to get hit by that pendulum, and we're going to knock this movement back 50 years, not just 25.
Well, and then that also leads into, you know, what advice would you give to, you know, younger folks that don't know all of what was achieved and the struggles and things like that? Like, you know, we do have Gen Z and Gen something need medicine, don't know them. But the thing is, like, whatever, just kidding, darling, we love everybody. But, you know, it's just the point of, like, you know, we do have like a different environment of people who are like, me, me, me. I want, you know, I don't really care how it got here. I want to get there now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sad because, you know, you're doing, not even doing, I would say, you're just saying something. And, you know, from your story earlier, it's like, not only were you, you know, fired literally for the basis of being gay, and, you know, having to kind of work around what was going on, you know, the words, you know, the crazy stuff, you know, the things people normalized. And now we're in a generation where people aren't really getting, I don't want to say they're not getting it because it's happening. And I just feel like everything's magnified because of social media. But the experience may be different, right? Because it is more polarized on media and not necessarily like what they're involved in every single day. So like, what would you give to those younger folks that don't know that fight?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's also the problem, even leaning into the social media piece too, of just the ageism. Mm-hmm. You know, the gay elders which, you know, for some people was over 30.
Right, honey. But,
you know, sorry, that's not the case. We're still here, you know, 70, 80. I think that, you know, unfortunately in American culture, as you mentioned, Mimi, you know, we just, it's like me, and look at me, through me, and don't I look great? And, you know, we started putting ourselves back into these silos, you know, these everybody's in a freaking silo. And the most peculiar thing for me is we work so hard to break down all of those labels. We tried to make all those labels go away. You know, when I was celebrating in the clubs and losing our minds, you know, in the 80s, it all you needed to be was gay. It didn't matter anything else. You know, you were, come on in. You know, we're all in here. We're all in this together, and we're all going to love on you, and it's going to be terrific. I don't see that in the community today. I see a lot of people, you know, putting labels on all of their peers, and it's so weird to me. The whole fight was to erase all of that, and we won that fight, so to speak. And now what do? We divide ourselves back up and put ourselves in labels and put ourselves in categories. Mm. And I find that so peculiar. So I think I would say to young people, you know, you need to learn your gay history, okay? And you need to pay attention to what's come before. You know how shocking it is for me, like to have a conversation with somebody that, you know, might even be 30 years old, 35 years old, and they don't know what the quilt you know, is or represents, that they don't understand AIDS and the crisis and what happened in the 80s and the illness and the dying and the isolationism and the horrors that people lived through, that some people my age still live with the guilt that they lived and all of their friends perished. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to, you know, young people have to, you got to look backwards, right? You got to look back to see where you're going. Mm. And I just think there's sort of a plague right now but you know, the plague right now is that we are so self-absorbed, and not just the gay community, not just us, not just everybody is so self-absorbed and worried about, you know, how they're going to look on their next Instagram post, that they've forgotten to interact with other human beings and to be down on the ground and be in the moment and be having some fun and creating lifelong relationships and bonds with your chosen family that are going to get you through life. And, you know, that just, I just don't seem to see that in young people, at least the one, you know, and that's not all young people, don't get mad at anybody, but
because I'm still young, I discount numbers, by the way. He is yelling at me right now because I'm young. I'm very young.
And I'm talking like I'm, you know, ready to retire, which
I know, and you're still like, no, but actually what you're saying actually goes into the algorithm of the way that social media has actually isolated a lot of people. Mm-hmm. If you want to go into the gay understanding of, you know, men in general, men under, you know, 37 years of age to under, really are more isolated, more into social media. They have different friends that are scattered around, but not a lot of communal situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's to the point where, like, even now, certain generations, men after 40, have to find colonoscopy buddies just to drive them to get a colonoscopy if they don't have a wife or, you know, somebody in that manner, right? So the point is that then you say, okay, let's take the male understanding, and now we put gay on it. We put any of the denominations that we want to in the LGBTQ community. The same thing is working. It's just that they happen to identify as something now different, right? But it doesn't separate the mindset. So before, you would look for your family, the chosen family, you would kind of understand what you went through, you would protect each other with it. Well, they're protecting each other by just posting a picture that looks like I'm everywhere all the time. That's why I was talking about the thing with Bianca earlier, where I was like, how does this person get to go on all these vacations and do whatever? And, like, you know, I don't really know, because I don't think that they work at, like, Starbucks somewhere. Is Starbucks giving you $150,000 a year? I don't know. But it, you know, and I'm like, and here Bianca works with Kaiser, and I see her taking a vacation once a year. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, girl, what? So I need to do more, evidently, or I need to learn how to be a barista, darling. But at the end of the day, it's just one of those things where it is psychology of technology has gone past where our brains can actually communicate with it. And with that creates more isolation, which creates depression, long-term anxiety, to the point where young people can't be put under with regular things in order to have surgeries now, you know, just because of the medications that people are on at such a young age. So I feel like that goes into the sensitivity dial. And also the less being able to have resilience and, again, community. So just, I do tend to be a nerd and, like, watch these things at night, evidently. But it's only because I do try and understand, like, where the world is going and how it does affect our community, because we do have more sensitivity and more negativity. And it is correct. You know, it is about how nude you can be, how sloppy you can be, how messy you can, you know, all these things. And yet we got other people out here like, girl, if I was doing that, like, you wouldn't even be here. So, you know, to your point, I feel like that's some of the issue, but people do need to sit down, right? People do need to talk to the elders that aren't really even elder, people that have come before that understand careers, understand balance, have had an impact of heaviness and been able to go to work the next day. You know, no, people throwing bricks, people dying of diseases, people seeing their friends die. Y'all are mad just because somebody posted something, y'all like, it's not the same. Yeah. It's not the same. There's a survival technique, and then there's just where you want to minimize things just for the sake of being a victim. The victim, the oppression Olympics is what I think we're fighting within our community, which is why we are divided, because it's who gets to say what now, and what is it that we get. And we do have to be careful about certain entities wanting to promote and sensationalize some of the things that we do go through in order to keep those doors open and that money flowing. Because there's certain experience here that not all of us have, but somebody that doesn't know and only sees those things thinks we go through. We live healthy lives, full lives. Well, you know, in moderation, of course, but it's true. So yeah. Eric, when it comes to that though, okay, and you see like how the world is moving, are there like worries for the growth of the community you feel? Do you feel like there's something that you wish for, you know, our allies and in our community in the future?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to make it sound all gloom and doom, because we know there are people out there working hard on behalf of the community and the organization. And like you just said, there are plenty of people that are living healthy and balanced lives. And that's amazing. I would say that, you know, getting involved with organizations, you know, I am on the board of something called the Equality Chamber of Commerce, which is here in Washington, D.C. It's the local chapter for the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And these organizations are spectacular. It would be nice if someday they weren't necessary, but you know, right now the beauty of organizations like this is that it is gay people helping, LGBTQ plus people helping each other and helping their businesses thrive, sharing stories of adversities or ways they overcame some discrimination, or how they navigated the government to secure a grant or a loan or things of this nature. So it's a great bunch of folks, right? So when we get together and socialize, we also get together and you know, we do networking events, and we also do you know, our advocacy work, and you know, we're plugged into the mayor's office of LGBTQ affairs, and you know, we try to make things happen for people in the community and try to help promote their businesses and make those people more successful. And not only is that enriching and satisfying, it's lucrative. So you know, being a part of an organization can really put some things in perspective, and it can open your eyes to a whole another crop of folks that share your values and that are part of your community but do things in a different way.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think to add to that, it's like, even if you're not on the board of something or whatever, it's good to look at these places and respect the vision of what's going on, you know, because we know we always get the people that come in, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. But it is to accept, and because we do. And without those people, like, you know, Amy Winehouse said, without those ones that sit at the bar late at night, what would we do? Right. So the point is, it's one of F Me Pumps is the song, just so you guys know. It's a great song, by the way. I love her. And so the thing is, you know, when you have people that are really involved, you know, not everybody can take those spots and positions and, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's to see how things work in a community and where you can see yourself in that and fit into it. And just because we talked about it, I will say, I was the first trans woman to ever be the president of the Equality Chamber. Not everybody has that number one hit to their credit, but yes, I will say it right now. Just because he did kind of tee it up, and I was like, I'm going to eat on that. But it's just because, you know, and it was important at the time because it was CAGLAC, you know, it was the Chamber of Gay and Lesbian. So, you know, in those times it was, well, how do we make it better for it to be for everyone, for women, for men, for non-binary, for people of color, you know, things that do need to change in time. And it's just so wonderful to see someone like you, Eric, involved, because you have such the power and the understanding of things, and to see someone breathe such life into that organization is just very touching to somebody who has been there and met you through that. You know, I mean, that's what's so cool. Right. You know, we met each other. Well, where else did we meet? Down on Mississippi Road. Like, I mean, the thing is, like, we definitely met each other there, and, you know, and it was great, you know, because now I feel like, you know, I have like this lifelong friend who, you know, or I should say I do have a lifelong friend that we have worked together beyond that. And so, you know, to tee up everything, you know, Eric is saying is that you do look for connections in different things that do fit you. And that is how you find chosen family. And when you find chosen family, understand it, hold on, because as you get older, it's harder and harder and harder to really find people you can trust. So cherish those moments, those people, and those things, because you can't always replace them. And so, Eric, would you like to leave people with something before we say bye-bye?
Well, you know, I would just like to say, you know, first of all, thank you for letting me, you know, share a little bit about myself. It's always fun, you know, to you know, relive some moments and obviously to be able to talk about some of the things that are important to me, and hopefully I've helped someone think a little bit more deeply about their position in the community, and that hopefully get some more people out there and get involved. If it's not too shameful, I'll do a plug and talk about a couple of the events that we have coming up for the Equality Chamber of Commerce. Can I do that now?
Please.
Okay. Yeah. So so please go visit us at equalitychamberdc.org. On July 11th, we have a Chamber Connect, which is our socializing and networking event. We are doing that at the Hyatt Crystal City. It starts at 6:30 p.m. And we are doing that in conjunction with the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. So there's a lot of opportunity to not only meet some of the district folks, but hey, you know, for those that don't often leave the island, and make your way to the Hyatt Crystal City. You can grab, you can register for that on our website, again, equalitychamberdc.org. We also have a cool, what we call a Rise and Grind speaker series, and that is a virtual activity. And on July 25th, we will be having a Rise and Grind speaker series, and it's fun. It's a kind of little bit of a speed networking, as well as a speaker that shares a little bit about their discipline and you know, how they can help you better your business. So there's a couple of fun things, but I would love anybody to come to Moxie and hang out. I'll do a shameless plug for my hotel. We have a fabulous rooftop lounge called Lucha Rosa. And come on by and enjoy some great cocktails and meals and some fabulous views in our indoor-outdoor rooftop. Come stay with us and, you know, let me know. And by all means, when you do get here, ask for me and say hi.
I love that. Bianca, do you have anything that you would like to say to the bookstall before we holler out?
I'm just thinking here again, Eric, thank you so much for joining us tonight. As always, thank you for your support. As you mentioned, I think part of the beauty of having this conversation is, you know, the partnership that we've created that turns into chosen family and friendship. So, you know, really wanted to thank you for sharing your story and joining us and, you know, continuing to get involved to make our world a better place for our community. So really grateful that you have graced us with your time, because I know you're busy and we really appreciate the time that you have with us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. And with that being said, this has been Inside Out. I left a little gem at the end of this program, a little song, a little something fun. And we will leave out with Portrait by Mariah Carey. We love you and we enjoy you. Good night.
So you can just be free.
Born in 1899, Edward Kennedy Ellington ranks as the greatest all-around musical figure. This Thursday, July 11th, from midnight until midnight, WPFW honors Ellington on the occasion of his 125th birth year with Ellington 125, a celebration beyond category. Hi, this is Miyuki. WPFW must move, so we will be raising funds toward that end. Our goal for that day will be over $15,000, and there are Ellington 125 commemorative gifts available to you as a thank you for your support. You can donate anytime on the website and see the Ellington 125 commemorative gift created for this drive as a thank you for your generosity. Help WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Greetings. WPFW presents Reversing the Mounting Healthcare Access Crisis for DC's Underserved, a radio forum on Unity Healthcare Clinics and the DC Jail, a special broadcast spotlighting the importance of community involvement and government support on Tuesday, July 9th, 6 to 8 p.m. Participants include Unity Healthcare providers representing their newly formed union, DC City Council members, community activists, and WPFW hosts. Produced in collaboration with the Union of American Physicians and Dentists, that's Reversing the Mounting Healthcare Access Crisis for DC's Underserved, a radio forum on the Unity Healthcare Clinics and the DC Jail. Tuesday, July 9th, 6 to 8 p.m. on WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
PACA, Pan-African Community Action, will be holding the Community Town Hall, The Harm of Crime Bills, and the Future of Community Power in Chaka City. On Saturday, July 13th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., D.C. residents are invited to discuss how the Secure D.C. Crime Bill targets the black working class and criminalizes our youth, and how to develop real people-centered solutions to community safety. There will be speakers, group exercises, lunch, and a performance by the Afro-Go-Go Roots Collective, Crank Lukongo Unplugged. The Harm of Crime Bills and the Future of Community Power in Chocolate City, Saturday, July 13th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the RISE Demonstration Center, 2730 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C. More information and registration can be found online, PACA, that's P-A-C-A, crimebilltownhall.eventbrite.com. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Tom Cole, host of G-Strings, here on WPFW every Sunday morning. I and the rest of the station's volunteers and staff would like to invite you to join the WPFW Legacy Listener Circle by making a contribution to the station's future through your estate plan. There are a lot of ways to do that, through your IRA or retirement plan, by gifting us life insurance, or through your donor